Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The only coach that's dropped an easy E line in the media day so far, Brent Brennan from San Jose State, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing well, doing well. By the way, I think, look, I call games for Utah State. I have a vested interest in them doing well, but I could not help but, and I think there are a lot of people like us that were all turning into big San Jose State fans last year. With what you guys were able to do and the turnaround with that program and the groundwork you built, to have it pay off the way that it did had to be really great for you and your staff.
It was really special. It was special for those kids. They had been through a lot in the year, you know, for our university, just to kind of get to a moment where we're like, wow, football could be really fun here. It was really special.
With the opportunity for a lot of those seniors to come back with that year of eligibility, are you getting most of your guys back, Coach?
We are. We have a great group coming back. Really excited. You'll be able to talk to a couple of them tomorrow, but really excited about, you know, all these kids and the choice they made to come back and to be a part of it.
Because I'm sure there are some people calling, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I think, you know, obviously we're in a much different world right now than we were a year ago. But, you know, you got the onset of the transfer portal and just how tricky that makes that. But I think our coaches and our players have done a great job. We have a great vibe and brotherhood with our team. And I think that was what they wanted to be a part of.
Did you get the sense going into last year that it was, you're positive every year that, okay, this thing's going to get going around. But did you get that sense like, hey, this thing's going to click. We're ready to go.
So, you know, I've told this story a couple times, but we had a spring scrimmage. And, you know, we only had 6 days of spring ball. And my daughter was playing in the NorCal basketball semifinals. And we had a coach's clinic going on. So I missed all the coach's clinic. And I went to her game. And I got there right in time for I got back to the stadium right in time for the start of our scrimmage. So I was standing about 20 yards behind it, and I was just watching. We had officials, and it was – we were executing and playing hard and, like, really getting after each other. And I kind of got, like, a little teary. I'm like, oh, my God, like, here we go. Like, this is it. And right then my offensive coordinator tapped me on the shoulder and said, we're going to be really good. And so he was, like, 30 yards behind me. He was watching the same thing I was watching. And it was like, we got a chance.
So were you able to get an early spring in then before all the stuff broke out?
So we got 6 days in.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, not very
so
much.
So not really, no. No, okay.
I think it was our first scrimmage. Sorry.
We were talking with Commissioner Thompson. He was taking us through that Ball State, that Arizona Bowl that you guys played in, and he said San Jose State, it was a different situation because they had a lot of guys that weren't able to be there. Can you kind of walk us through that situation in that bowl game?
Oh, man, it was something else. It was, you know, we had, you know, I think we ended up playing without 24 guys and both coordinators and some really good players. And then the one thing that I don't think everybody knows is that the day of the game, we get to the stadium, putting our gear on, guys are starting to get into pregame, and my ops guy walks up to me and he said, hey, Pima County wants to test us right now. Like, you got to get the whole team off the field. Like an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff.
You got to be kidding me.
And so we walked everybody.
Guys are padded up and
yeah,
everything.
Yeah, yeah. So then the guys are, like, walking through the training room in their cleats and their shoulder pads and their gear, and they're all getting swabbed. And so, you know, so it's just – it was like an extra gut punch.
That's we were getting terrible. Ready to play the game.
And Ball State was good. That's the other thing. I don't think people gave them enough credit. They were a good, good football team. They were well coached, extremely tough. Quarterback's a good player, good on defense. They were good.
I got to imagine the message on the vaccinations. You can't tell your kids to get vaccinated. I mean, you can't force them. But you also realize we talked to Craig Thompson, and he said it's not official yet. But chances are, if you miss a game as a team, that's going to go as an L, not as a no contest.
Yeah, that's right. And really what I've done with our team and what I believe is it's up to them. Whether they want to get it or not, it's their choice. And I got to worry about the health and kind of the ability for us to play good football. And we know what it looks like when we don't have people available,
yeah.
Right? You know, so we do have the Arizona Bowl experience to point to, like, hey, this wasn't so many positives. It was contact tracing that eliminated a third of our team or 25% of our team for the game. So that part of it is, you know, whatever they choose, I'll support it either way. No judgment. Just – with it, it's going to come some consequences. Like, you're going to have to wear a mask all the time. You have to get tested. You're going to have to – if you might get contact traced if your girlfriend gets COVID or someone, you know, where if you have the vaccine, you don't have to deal with that stuff. So I'm good either way.
Is that kind of how the university and administrators approached you and your staff? Kind of the same, like, hey, here's this is your choice, but this is what you're going to go through if you don't get vaccinated.
You know, there's been a lot of conversations that way. It's been, you know, it's interesting. We've been on campus most of the time, but most of our campus has not come back to life yet, right? So we've been on campus, but our faculty and our general student population hasn't repopulated yet. So
wow.
There's been some of those conversations, but more has just been internal with our staff and like, okay, how do we want to handle this? And I told the staff, like, I'm good either way. No judgment. I really don't. It's your choice. If you want to get it, great. If you don't, great. Like, I'm not going to care either way. Just know that we're going to have to deal with something going forward. And so guys are doing a good job figuring it out on their own. And like I said, I respect it.
Coach, congratulations belatedly on the season last year. Good luck this year. Look forward to catching up to get
soon.
Thank
you very much. You guys are awesome. Appreciate the time.
Brent Brennan, head coach at San Jose State right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. I'll grab that headset from you and let you get on your way, Coach. And all kinds of good stuff coming up. As this San Jose State team hands is going to be really, really good this coming season. Let's take a quick break, come back, and we'll hear from Wyoming head coach as well, Craig Bull, straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
Joe Ingles joining us. Australia has finished fourth four times, the best country that's never medaled. With this storyline and with you being so invested in the national team going to your fourth Olympics, I'm thinking you're way more locked in on this than most Jazz fans realize.
Yeah, I really am. I've put too much time and effort into this to not give myself and my team and my country and my family and my kids a chance to bring this medal home. And we've built this thing to what it is now, and we've put so much time and effort into this and been so invested. It's why we've played every offseason for 12 years now. And we believe in our team and what we can do when we get to Tokyo.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
.97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. All right, for one of our Twitter followers, we have a guy. I don't know his name. I don't know if I've ever met him, Hans. Do you know if he's ever showed up in any of our remotes, Ben?
I don't think so. No, I don't think we've ever met him.
But, Coach, we have a Twitter follower. He berates us every time we do not talk about Wyoming enough. And he held us to the fire. You better talk to Coach Bull this year. So here he is, the head coach at Wyoming, and we would have talked to him anyway because it's a great conversation. You got a great team. Craig Bull, kind enough to join us. Coach, how are you?
Well, really good. And whoever that Twitter follower is, thanks for giving us some exposure out west.
Yeah, he's got your back for sure.
All right.
Hey, you've got a team that I know you've been building towards for quite some time. Just what are your expectations for the squad, and what do you feel like this team can accomplish this year?
Well, I think we can accomplish a lot, but I also know there's always a difference between having potential and producing. We are a very experienced team, the deepest team that I've had as a head football coach in my tenure, whether it be at Wyoming or NDSU. But with that gives us great opportunity. And football is a game of numbers. You know, you've got to have depth. You're going to incur some injuries. You know, I think, in an old Western phrase, that we've got some bullets in our guns, though.
Yeah.
As I look, I feel like we have some weapons. It'll be important that we stay healthy. Certainly the conference that we play in is very challenging. But, heck, I'm just excited to be in Vegas talking to you, doing some things that are normal. There's a different sheen on the moon, and it's time to get ready to play football.
Talk to us a little bit about the new regulation, the NCAA allowing an extra year of eligibility. How much is that going to affect you this year, Coach?
Well, you know, it's a big advantage for us this year. We have not hardly had any attrition, and we had a significant number of what would be termed super seniors, particularly in the offensive line. And, you know, that's a place that's a man's game played by men, and to have those guys in the trenches that are older. Where it is going to come into somewhat of a challenge is next year the NCAA has not allowed you to expand your scholarship roster, so we'll go back down to 85. But we're celebrating the guys that we have this year. We applaud their efforts last year going through COVID and playing. We underachieved last year, and it's time to set the record straight this next year.
You've got you've got quarterbacks, you've mm-hmm. got depth, and that offensive line that you point to. But when you do have returning players, and the NCAA says, "Oh, you guys can have one free transfer," you mentioned very little attrition. Mm-hmm. How hard was it to make sure that you kept your horses at home?
You know what was going to be important. I sat on the football oversight committee, so I saw this one-time transfer. It was going to come, no matter what coaches said, jumped up and down. It was coming. Our whole perspective has been, we feel like we have been very intentional with our recruiting. We've told guys what we want, what kind of experience that they can have. And guys came because they believed in what was there. And so we've created, I believe, an atmosphere where guys want to be there. They don't feel like they have to be there. And so as a result, their experience, whether they have a chance to get a great college degree, have a chance to maybe win a conference championship. And then the other thing is over the last several years, I looked on the opening day rosters of NFL rosters. We had more NFL players than any other Mountain West school, and some by quite a bit. And so guys have a chance to achieve, if they can play well, have a chance to play in the NFL also.
Coach, I want to walk you back to maybe the first – it might even be the first year that you were there at Wyoming and mm-hmm. talk a little bit about Josh Allen, his recruitment, where you found him, and right. watching him blow up for the Bills. Uh-huh. And thinking, man, he came through this conference, and he came through right. that university. What was your first interaction with him? Obviously, it had been you and your staff recruiting him, and right. how did you end up landing him?
Well, you know, we were scouring the western portion of the state, and we were retooling our offense. We were going to a pro-style offense. The last school I was at, we had Carson Wentz, and so we were going to need a pro-style guy. We felt like Josh was, you know, undervalued. I think Eastern Michigan might have been recruiting him. He was at a junior college. You know, it was kind of a neat experience for me. I grew up in the Midwest with a farming background, and Josh came from a farm. And so I went out to the farm. We flew all over the country.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget, I went in and said, this is the guy we're looking for. He came in. He was still underdeveloped when he got there. He got injured, and then we were able to redshirt him. And then all of a sudden, things – he always had a live arm, but he grew. He put on some lean muscle mass. And it's been great to see what he's done in the NFL. It sounds somewhat braggadocious, but what he's done in the NFL has not surprised me. I felt he always had the tremendous physical ability, but what he lacked was maybe the understanding and the maturity level to be able to operate at that high level. And so it's been heartwarming to flip on the screen and watch him play on Monday night and do some of the special things. I think it also speaks really well for our conference. You know, Josh was a good player, but we've had a lot of really good players at a lot of our schools. And so I think the Mountain West nationally, I know that I've talked to many general managers in the National Football League. They comb our conference. They see our conference as producing great players.
You and Utah State and a lot of teams here in the conference, when you look at a player, you have to project a little mm-hmm. bit.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, what does his dad look like?
Right.
You know, what's he going to develop into three mm-hmm. or 4 years from now? Is that something that you feel like you and your staff has really, mm-hmm. and especially in your North Dakota days, have really kind of honed in right. on the ability to do?
Well, you know, a lot of that comes from a template. I had an opportunity to play and then later coach for Tom Osborne at Nebraska in the mid-90s. And we went on a stretch where we were 60-3. And many times people don't recognize a lot of those players were not heavily recruited. They played different positions. We developed them. And then we took that template to NDSU, and we were 43-2. But that took some years. That was the eighth year until we made that special run. And what's encouraging is next year will be our eighth year in Laramie. And so if you build things, you've got to set some foundational blocks. And we feel like we've got a good program. But also I can tell you this, I think Utah State chose a great, great head coach. Coach Anderson and I served on the board of trustees. A great man, really cares about players, is really good for college football, and will do a great job with the Aggies.
It's good to hear it, for sure. And to your point, 8 years, there's not a lot of, in this day and age, mm-hmm. not a lot of athletic directors and school presidents that right. have the patience.
Right.
And not saying that you haven't had some success there at Wyoming, but there's a lot of people that, like, say, okay, you know, if I'm not winning – conference championships by year two, we're going to have a difficult conversation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's impressive that Wyoming has said, look, let's get you going, right, and let's give you time to make sure you get it right.
Well, I'd like to give a big shout-out to our athletic director, Tom Berman. He's a senior athletic director in the conference. He's a guy that's got great vision, really understands the state of Wyoming. It was one of the schools that I looked at that they had recruited me actually when I was in high school many, many years ago, and I knew that there was greatness here. But what Wyoming was doing was just recycling and trying the new flavor of the month, and it was going to need to be a long-term decision or a long-term commitment on both ends. And so I want to say thanks to our administration. Thanks for Tom Berman, because we had some – and it's not that we're at the mountaintop, but we have now developed somewhat of a winning culture. And there were a lot of naysayers. We didn't take any shortcuts. We took the long road, and we're in hopes that this next year is going to benefit from that.
Kids signing some deals there with the NIL stuff there in Laramie?
You know what? We've had very little of that, and I'm all supportive of that. I also knew that this was coming as well. I think there's going to be a major adjustment with all the college athletics, and then things will begin to distill and settle down. The things that we've talked about and the culture that we've talked about is football is the ultimate team game. College football is a special game. We want great opportunities for our players, but just recognize that when you're out there doing something, whether you're the primary guy that's, you know, like Josh Allen was a quarterback, well, you got a left tackle that's blocking for you. And you need to keep your eye and focus on being a team. And so guys have ventured out. We have not had a explosion like you hear some of these other schools do. And like I said, I think things will calm down, but there's going to be some bumps along the way as we figure this thing out.
Coach, always a pleasure.
Thanks
for joining us.
You bet.
You kept the heat off us on Twitter, and that means a lot. We appreciate
Who's
it.
Who's our Twitter guy? Stay with him and go Pokes.
There you go. Craig Bull right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. That was a fun conversation.
There, Sven. I hope you're happy.
You happy, Sven? There you go. You got that. That was all for you.
Yeah,
but
no,
that was.
If you're not listening, that we're not doing it next year. Just kidding. I really like Coach Bull.
I do
him
too. Yeah. He's really hard not to like.
Well, think about this. I mean, take the COVID year out of it, because I think you have to. It's a ridiculous year. Commissioner Thompson was talking about, they declared no season in August. For crying out loud. They said, we're not doing it. We're not playing. And then they tried to build one and put one together. So I'm throwing the COVID year out. But outside of that, Scotty, three of the last 4 years, Craig Bull has got this team to a pretty good bowl game. Poinsettia Bowl. It got him the Arizona Bowl. Trying to remember what the third bowl was. But I know that they've been to some good bowls over those last 4 years.
They've built this team really, really well. And you're right. Last year they went 2-5, but I don't count that. They got first place votes to win the division, and I did not. I had Boise State 1, but Wyoming 2. They're right there, and I'm not exactly sure where they play, if that game's in Laramie or if it's in Boise. But Boise better be ready to go, because Wyoming's going to test them. There's no doubt about it. All right. Hands with Scotty. Coming up next, we'll announce our next selection in our top 60 and 60. It's all straight ahead right here on the Zone Sports Network. Zone 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. 138 along the Wasatch Front. Fun show today. Had some good conversations with some guys. Hands, this is the name, image, likeness thing. It's fun to pick the brain of a lot of coaches and see what they think about what's going on and get their thoughts on this.
Well, what college football fans need to understand is how different the scene is with everything. Not, you know, you got the name, image, and likeness, but we've thrown a bunch of things out there to these coaches. Not only the name, image, and likeness, but the extra year of eligibility for everybody that changes so much. The one transfer free. You know, it's the wild, wild west. Anybody can transfer at any given time, and nobody gets locked out. Everybody can make that transfer. there are so many new things that these coaches are having to deal with as they're coming out of this pandemic that it's just making it really difficult. I mean, geez, Scotty, I can't imagine everything, especially a guy like Craig Bowles, who's been doing this for so long. You know, he goes back to North Dakota State back in 2003 as a head coach. And he's been doing this for so long, and it's just a completely changed landscape. Commissioner Thompson's been doing this for how many years? And now he's having to implement all these things and try to help the conference figure it out. It's been a really intriguing media day so far. And the Pac-12 media day is going to be the same.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's coming up next week. Patrick Kinahan and Jake Scott will be down in Los Angeles for that one. And so we've got you covered from top to bottom. All right. With that, Hans, this is going to be an interesting one. Let's announce our next selection in our top 60 and 60.
This is the top 60 and 60. As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 college football season.
We're going to have a good time.
And now it's time for today's selection. We return to the defensive line of the University of Utah to spotlight another player that the Utes hope will help dominate Pac-12 offenses as the Utes try to make a run at a conference championship. At number 32 from the University of Utah, 6'1", 265-pound defensive end, Maxis Tuipai. University of Utah head coach, Kyle Whittingham.
Max Tuipai, another guy that's been in the program for several years, had his best spring as a youth, playing his best football right now, and we're hoping for big things from Max.
This is the Top 60 and 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union and Icon on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, Hans. Max is coming in at number 32 in our Top 60 and 60, and an interesting selection for Maxis, and I want to get your thoughts on this bad boy.
Too high, I think, and you know, I think as things develop at the University of Utah right now, there are two young guys that are undeniably next in line and could potentially step right in front of the line with Max Tuipai. And that's Van Fillinger, who is a local guy, and Xavier Carlton, who's another local guy. Both of those guys, I think, have the opportunity to take that start. Not only to take the start, but really grab the bulk of all of those reps. X Carlton is 6'6". I think he's probably 270 pounds now, Scotty. And lightning fast, big, strong guy, and well, obviously was a huge grab. I think he had committed to Texas, is that right? And then decommitted to and went.
Yeah, I believe so.
And went to Utah, and they love him, and he has been fantastic for them. And then you got Van Fillinger, and Fillinger is 6'4" or 6'5", and he's probably 260, 265 pounds now. And I don't know if Tuipai is going to be able to hold on to that start. In fact, I'll just go ahead and say it. I don't think he is. Wow. I don't think he's going to hold on to start. I don't even know if he holds on to much of a rotational position. Maybe if he has, if he does everything right, maybe. But when you get these young bucks that were big-time recruits that have come in and done everything that strength and conditioning coaches have asked and everything positioning coaches have asked, they start to slide in front of you. And as you heard Coach say right there, this is a guy that's been in our system a lot of years. Well, he's had a lot of years, and now it's time for a changing of the guard. And I do think this is going to be a changing of the guard. I think Mika Tafua holds his position at end, but I think X Carlton and Van Fillinger take those reps from Max Tuipai coming up this year.
Hey, a bit of a story brewing. The Houston Chronicle is reporting that Texas and Oklahoma have reached out to the SEC about joining that conference. And the story is behind a paywall. They say an announcement could come in the next few weeks about whether or not the SEC will be interested in that. But this could be Hanton's. We might be on the brink of that summer of 2010 all over again. The story says an announcement could come within a couple of weeks concerning the potential of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Now, that is a story courtesy of the Houston Chronicle, but the Big 12 might be about to be raided once again.
Okay, now this is really interesting. If you take Oklahoma and Texas and you throw them in the SEC, that, unless you boot a couple of teams, that now becomes your 16-team super conference that we've talked about. You know, we've talked about these super conferences that are 16 teams deep, and they kind of control their own destiny. They can play inside their division the correct amount of games, and you can build these 16-team super conferences unless you beat or boot like Vanderbilt. And I'm trying to think of another one that you could possibly boot and get away with. Kentucky, maybe. I don't know. But you don't want to boot them because of the basketball. Missouri, maybe.
Texas can't even win in the Big 12. Good luck with that.
Yeah. Well, they think they're going to settle down with Steve Sarkisian. And they think Sark is going to bring them some victories.
Well, if that happens, by the way, then the Big 12 then goes down to 8. And if I'm the Pac-12 and you got a new commissioner there, you've got to do your due diligence and do some work. I'm on the phone with Oklahoma State. I'm on the phone with
TCU.
TCU.
Yeah.
I'm on the phone, you know, from a basketball with a basketball standpoint, get Kansas. I don't know if you want them for football, but Baylor, as you mentioned, Iowa State, like – I find my you're now at 12. You can poach four teams real quick, and the Pac-12 can get to 6 instead of the Big 12 reaching out to your schools to try to bump them back up to, you know, to 10 or 12 teams. Like, you know, the Pac-12 better look at this as an opportunity. If this story is indeed true, you better be proactive in this, and you try to put the death knell into the Big 12 instead of the Big 12 reaching out to your schools and saying, hey, Arizona State. USC, UCLA, come on over. But I don't think if Texas and Oklahoma aren't included in that conference, if I'm those schools in the Pac-12, I don't want to be a part of that.
Dang you, paywall.
I know, right?
Yeah, I just pulled up the story, and it's not even letting me scroll with the dark screen behind it. And all it says is a decade after major conference realignment shook up college football, big changes might again be on the horizon. Reported by Orange Bloods. No, I'm just kidding.
What was that guy's name? Chip Brown? Yeah.
Chip's all over it again.
The summer of Chip.
Orange Bloods. No, this isn't Orange. This is the Houston Chronicle, as Scotty mentioned. And I don't know, man. Boy, that's a lot of. This might just be some guy that's like, you know what? Yeah, this summer's getting hot and long. Let's do something fun.
Let's have some fun.
Let's roll out a report that they've reached out the SEC. And, of course, you would have to do your due diligence in the first place. Like, the SEC is delivering buco bucks, and they are dominating the college football world. And right now, apparently, according to Coach Saban, because I'm not supposed to call him Nick, according to Nick Saban, they've got a backup quarterback that's making $1 million on name, image, and likeness, and they're probably sitting there like, well, what are they doing over there?
Yeah.
You would want to reach out to them, whether or not you're actually reaching out, like, hey, let's get this done now.
Okay, so, you have to look at this is who's leaking the story? Why are they leaking the story? Because you just don't throw that out there all willy-nilly. There's a purpose behind this. And the thing that we've always talked about is you don't invite a team or you don't throw your name out there if you don't know what the answer is going to be. And so Texas and Oklahoma aren't throwing – if the leak's coming from them, they're not throwing it out there to try to get the SEC's attention. They're throwing it out there because they know what the answer is going to be, and they might be trying to partner a new deal with the Big 12 to get more money, kind of like what Boise State did about a year ago. And so, you know, what are you doing? What's the purpose of it? What's your end game? What are you trying to do? Is it you're just trying to negotiate – more money in your TV contract, like, you know, look, we're Texas, Oklahoma. We need more money than everybody else. Are you actually throwing it out there so the world knows that that you are leaving? Like, what's the purpose behind it? And that's going to be the million-dollar question right there.
Hmm. Was Coach Avalos standing behind you when you leaned in and said, BSU, Boise?
No, no, but Bob is.
You could take him.
I'm not too overly concerned about that one. It'd be a bad look, though.
Yeah, but if he wants to come front, then, you know.
If he wants some, come and get some.
Yeah, you chest up on him, he'll back down. Get that low drive you do. He's screwed. Ain't nothing Bob can do about
well,
it.
Well, he is like 70s. Yeah. Oh, boy. Are we on the air? Yeah, we are, aren't we? All right. Hans and Scotty, coming up next, Final 7. Get you ready for the big show straight ahead here on the Zone Sports Network.
This is DJ and PK.
At some point, you want to be recognized.
You hear what he just said? At some point, you want to be recognized.
Well, that's why you're complaining about
not winning. How ironic. At some point, you want to be friggin' recognized. Yeah, exactly. Nice little patronizing and condescending comment thrown my way. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Guy feeds the naked here. My goodness, he does it all.
And I'm not giving him a coat. You hungry?
Right out of the scriptures, man. He feeds the naked. I mean, it's just unbelievable what he does.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hey, make sure to join the big show. They'll be live Thursday at the Warehouse. From 2 to 7, price is so low, it'll blow your mind. Greg Sankey of the SEC, no comment on the speculation of Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. That is not a denial. Also, another, let's see here, the athletic director for Texas A&M, Ross Bork, on the news that Texas and Oklahoma could be coming to the SEC, quote, "We want to be the only SEC team from the state of Texas." So Texas A&M doesn't want to share.
Of course, right? You wouldn't want that the whole crew coming. You'd be like, no, we've got the SEC label in this state. Nobody else does. That makes them unique.
Yeah. I'm just tweeting out. You are looking live at Rice-Eccles Stadium as Utah gets set for a big conference battle tonight against Baylor.
Well, that's Jake Scott just came in, and he and I were going back and forth. So you turn the SEC into a 16-team power conference with Oklahoma and Texas. And then we were talking about, all right, so the Big Ten sits at 14 teams. Who do you take from the Big 12 to turn them into a 16-team power conference? And there's really nobody else. If I'm the Big Ten, I'm like, I guess we'll take Iowa State and Oklahoma State. Or maybe you take the two other Texas schools. I know there's three out of there, but you'd take TCU and Texas Tech, or, you know, how do you divide that? Because if Oklahoma and Texas leave the Big 12, they're not going to go poaching. They're just going to continue to get poached.
Yeah, yep.
Because they're not a 14-team conference losing two teams right now. They're a 10-team conference losing two, dropping down to 8, and now you just become the weak link. Yeah, now you're just a sitting duck for everybody else to come in. It's not like you're looking at around at 8 and being like, well, we'll just go find 4 teams. No, you're not just going to go find 4 teams. You're not going to go to the MAC and be like, all right, Kent State and Ohio, not the Ohio, but Ohio. You know, like, you know, Ball State, we're ready for you. Western Michigan, there's just not a lot to go and try to build a new conference. You lose Texas and Oklahoma, you're screwed, man. Plugs pulled.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, those teams will scatter like cockroaches trying to find a decent home out there. I don't know where that's going to be.
There's always the Sun Belt, man. You could reload with the Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
You think Texas A&M has any kind of pull in that conference to be like, no.
No.
I mean, look, if I'm the SEC, I'm like, they're Texas. Shut your mouth, and you'll like it. Enjoy your $50 million a year you're getting in TV money, and be quiet.
Yeah, no, they don't have. In fact, I would imagine they've already got an email in their box saying, I want every one of you to shut your mouth, and if they say Texas and Oklahoma at our conference, you make sure you're backing that thing, talking about we want to be the only school in that state with an SEC title. Stop
it. Why don't you just say thank you for being able to be a part of this?
And you give us Johnny Manziel and nothing else, you lamos. You just shut your mouth. What has A&M ever brought to that program?
You got Johnny Manziel and Jimbo who won't shut his mouth.
Gosh, I don't want to hear another peep out of you, A&M. We're trying to get the Longhorns. In fact, I could see them behind the scenes being like, hey, we'll give you Texas A&M and we'll throw in Arkansas, but we want the Longhorns.
Arkansas's like, hey. You're like, hey, you shut up. Arkansas, what have you done in the last 80 years? Nothing.
Aren't you hog with tusks? You just shut your mouth over there.
You got a coach who can't learn how to ride a motorcycle, for crying out loud.
if you're trying to even out divisions, I could be like, listen, we've got this really good academic university. they're so good. And they're really tough to get enrollment because their academic accomplishments are so high. Would you like Vanderbilt?
Would you like Vanderbilt? That's really going to increase, your APRs across your...
People don't transfer out of there.
Oh, man. Well, Hans, it's been a fun show. We'll be back with you tomorrow, and we'll hear from some of the players here at Utah State as well as some of the other players across the conference. Hans and Scotty, big show next right here on the Zone Sports Network.